Yo, what's good? Laugh Not Die Later on the road to the 100th episode. You already know, the craziest, the best podcast where you're going to hear people cry and laugh, say stuff that they don't want to hear. Low-key heavily recorded just because there's so many crazy shit said on the podcast. The only podcast recorded from a phone. And give us a 5-star. You know, keep this momentum, rhythm, flow, whatever going. The last episode I did was with Carlos Cruz in his car in San Jose. And if you listen constantly, my favorite thing about this podcast is where the fuck I'm live from. And today we're live from a plaza.
I don't know. I've never been in here before. We're in the heart of the Tenderloin in San Francisco, and we're in kind of like a market.
Yeah. It reminds you of Mexico, like a very like nice version of like what Mexico is. But my guest today is Ace, Form of Passion, Breakaway.
Yep. Mutually Assured Destruction. Yeah. It's a mouthful. MAD for short, to make it easy.
Is it from? Do you get the song from Cattle Decapitation?
A lot of people have asked that. I'm gonna be honest. I don't really know where we got it from, because a guitar player that's no longer in the band brought a list of names when we started out, and that was one of them. And we just ended up picking that one. But I don't know if he got it from Cattle Decapitation or not. I'm not. That seems like a band he might have listened to.
Yeah.
But I'm not really 100% sure. It just sounded cool.
Yeah.
And honestly, because a lot of bands that we drew influence from had three-letter names, or like three-word names, like Only Living Witness, Life of Agony, Sam Black Church, I was like, oh, a three-word name would probably make the most sense. So that's kind of how that came to be.
It's a pretty hard thing to pull off.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, abbreviated, it's MAD, which is kind of sick.
It works out, so we can put that on the merch and stuff. Especially for like when people are making like hand-drawn flyers, they sometimes will opt for that because it's also a very long name.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, I'm not putting this whole thing on there.
It's like a tongue twister. Exactly. Low key. Yeah. I just be like, I'm gonna see MAD.
Yeah, MAD.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
That'll work.
So you're someone who does the metal thing, like, mm-hmm. And you actually like metal. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you could tell, like, the way you perform, the way Matt is, the essence of what the band is.
Yep.
Very metal. You're in a straight edge hardcore band.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely know your way around style and music. And
yep.
Heavy culture, whatever. So let's talk about your childhood. How was your childhood?
Well, I was born in Richmond, Virginia in 1989.
So you're 80s, technically.
I'm an 80s baby. My parents split like really early on. So my mom and I lived, like, I don't remember them being together. My mom and I lived, in kind of like one part of the city, and I would see my dad like every other weekend and some weekdays. And it was very like different lifestyles. Like, you know, my dad was a self-made guy. He like made like a lot of money for himself, and he like lived like, you know, like had like nice cars, nice house and stuff. My mom worked really hard, but we didn't have that lifestyle, like, you know, on like she and I side of things. Like, I drove by the place we lived in when I was a kid, and it was like a few room house, and it seemed so tiny, like as an adult, like, you know, like looking at it or whatever. Whereas, like, you know, on my dad's side, I lived in like big houses, like didn't think of anything of like being at like a country club like all the time. Like, I didn't like know any like different. So on like the needs side of things, like, you know, I had like a lot of needs met.
Child?
I'm an only child, and I was gonna say, like, I kind of remember my childhood being like kind of lonely.
Mm.
I didn't really know that it was lonely, but like I spent a lot of time by myself, and I had friends and stuff for sure. But being a kid, I got really into being like imaginative. Like, you know, like playing with toys, coming up with stories, like a lot of like having a, you know, I didn't have like a sibling. I didn't have somebody there to like entertain me.
Oh, there's a difference between like having friends and like having like your childhood, like, you know, like, because I didn't have that. You know what I mean? I had like, you like, you play with kids or whatever. You know how to socialize.
Yeah.
But like, I could relate to that. Like, you know, you didn't have like like those kids that like, oh, like, well, at least for me, like that like you know all your life, or that like they were formative. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just, yeah. There was people
that were like my close homies and stuff. But like, it's like there's not really anybody in my life now that like I was like friends with when I was like that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
That I was like friends with when I was a kid, and you know, what I remember, it's funny, like I'm talking about it right now, is my memory of being a kid was having a good time, but like by myself. You know, at school I always felt like a little bit like ostracized. Like I don't know if that was like by design or like that was like in my head or whatever, but like I was like, you know, kind of like an overweight, nerdy, dorky kid, like, you know, and I wasn't particularly good at sports at the time, but my dad really wanted me to, like, you know, my dad's a sports guy, you know, he was like an all-American athlete.
He's like an alpha dude.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And he like wanted me to like, you know, like be like that too. So
was there like a lot of like clashing between you guys, like you being a nerdy, like imaginative kid, and like him being like was there ever a point where like he just made you feel less?
I mean definitely, you know. And it's like I love my dad, like, you know, today I've never not loved him, but like, it was like as a kid, I think it was one of the reasons he and my mom split. I think my dad was not really ready to be a dad yet when I was born. I think he still had like a little bit of growing up to do. And when I was a kid, he saw me more as an extension of his persona than kind of my own thing. And also, it's like, I get it in certain regards. Like he wanted me to meet a standard, you know, wanted me to do good in school, wanted me to like take care of myself. And I would say, honestly, most of the practical things that I learned from him growing up are some of the better things that I know in my life now. But you know, it was like my dad was kind of more of like a boss, or it felt like he was more of like a boss than it felt like, you know, it was like a family member. It's kind of harsh to say because I do like care about him like a lot, and he even called me today to tell me like how proud he is of me and like where I am in my life now. But as a kid, it was tough because my parents had split, and my mom wanted, I could do no wrong in my mom's eyes. I could come home and like have like shot somebody, and my mom would be like, well, that person probably deserved it, you know. Whereas like my dad, I felt like it was the opposite. It was very critical. So there was a bit of a clash there, and both of them would admit that now.
Would you say as a kid you were like spoiled, selfish, because you had like both parents, like, you know, you had your full attention from both parents?
Yeah. I was definitely like spoiled in like certain regards. I don't think I would call myself like selfish. Maybe in like some aspects.
Or like as a kid, you know what I mean? Like,
as a kid. I mean, when I got into like middle school, like that was like peak, like kind of like nerddom. And like, you know, I like was like, you know, I was like really into like anime and like I don't know, kind of like dorky music. I remember like checking out the stuff I liked at the time, fantasy stuff and everything. But you know, I had like, you know, I started making like good friends and stuff at school, and I started playing football kind of like towards the end of my like elementary school and into middle school. But I never particularly was like good at it. You know, but it's like it's what my dad wanted me to play. So, you know, I did that. I just remember kind of like that time period of my life being very again, I kind of remember a lot of time in my room, a lot of time going to the comic book store. I'd walk to a comic book store, like, not that far from my house, and, like, buy comics.
And was your dad okay with that? Like, I mean, was he, like...
I wasn't with him that much.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a problem with me doing that stuff. He just... There was no relation.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, even still, as great of a man as he is, there's certain things that he, like, when my dad calls me now, he wants to talk about work, like how I'm doing at my job or whatever. If I talk about, I'm like, oh, I'm going on tour to like this festival and playing in front of like this many thousands of people, I don't think it really like registers that much, you know, to him, you know.
I've learned that there's a difference between being a good man,
yeah,
being like a good man, and being a good father.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, yeah. Because like that's like my, yeah, it's a different, it's just a difference, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I feel like there's been people in my life like that. I'm like, dude, that's like, you know, like old heads, you know what I mean? Like hardcore, it's like you gotta read, you know what I mean? Like, or you gotta like, but again, it's like to be a father, like you gotta, it's more than just like guiding your kid, it's like being their friend, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Like, and that's the thing, it's like my dad and I were never really like, my mom was like too much of a friend at times, and my dad was like too much of like a boss at times, you know. But it really evened out, yeah. you know, in the end, and like, you know, it's not like, you know, here's the thing, it's like, if my dad read to me all the time when I was a kid, and like, you know, he took me on trips, and like, you know, took me like overseas for the first time. My dad did like a lot of stuff for me. I think one thing with him though is that, and he had this issue with his father, is that like, what he had like in his heart and in his head, didn't necessarily know how to convey that in like the best manner.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, so it's like he's and like he got remarried time later and had two other sons. So I have two brothers, and he's done like a phenomenal job, you know, with them and everything. I just think he had some growing up to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I had a kid at his age,
how old was he?
He was 32, something like that.
When he had a kid?
Yeah.
When he had you?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's old enough.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I recognize my own immaturity. I'm 34 now. If I'd had a kid 2 years ago, there's no way I would have been mature enough to do. I would have stepped up to the plate, but I would not be as equipped as I should be to do it the right way. Because I recognize that I'm like, you know, my main favorite activity is hitting people on a dance floor and like yelling into a microphone,
yeah.
and like, you know, like traveling around to like play gigs and stuff like that. Like, and there's obviously people that are fathers that do that too. But, you know, I recognize that it's like, that's like my, like, hanging out and doing that is my priority right now. And, you know, if I had a kid in my life right now, it would be, I would have to like curb some things, you know. And it's all good, you know. He's great. My mom's great. I love them both. But he didn't really, so he didn't have a problem with me buying comics and being into like
yeah,
nerdy
nerd.
Stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't really have an issue with that necessarily, but he and I weren't gonna like connect,
yeah.
you know, on that. So, but you know, I don't know. It's like middle school is kind of like a tough time.
Do you think once you get to high school, I feel like, well, I don't know, at least for me, because my parents are the same thing, where like they, like, I never saw my parents kiss, I never saw my parents hug.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They were together for a bit when I was a kid, but, you know, stayed together for the kids shit.
Yeah.
And I think when I got to high school, like, liking girls, well, I had it to be fair, I had it to my dad, but, like, liking girls was, like you feel nervous, right? Like, but you don't know how to act, because, like,
so
you don't know how it looks, like, to, like, my parents never, like,
yeah.
like, kiss or anything, or hug or lovey-dovey. Yeah. So when I was like, I don't know what to do, or I don't, like, you know, does that make sense? Like,
no, it does.
Was, like, seeing your parents not seeing, like, a loving relationship between your parents, like, affect you at all? Like,
that's a good question. I mean, yo, so my mom, like, never really dated after my dad and her split when I was, like, really young. Like,
she never introduced men into your life?
No, it's like, her focus was really, like, on, like being my mom and, like, working and stuff. My dad, on the other hand, like dated like a fair amount, like, you know, so I'd see like new like women like around like pretty often, like, and they'd be like dating, it, you know, it wasn't like I would just see some girl one time and not see her.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I feel like it's a little bit kind of worse, like here's a girl, like, yeah. you meet her, you talk to her, you're like, oh, like Susie or whatever, like, yeah. she's cool, and like, oh no, I'm dating like Samantha, like, yeah. oh, Samantha's
that
cool.
That didn't really, like, well, I didn't really, I cared about my mom.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about, yeah. like, the, like, my dad's girlfriends and stuff like that. And, I mean, heck, he even got married to somebody else in there, before he was with the woman he's with now, who's been my stepmom for like a long time.
Your dad's old school.
Yeah, definitely. he was married a bunch. but four times. So I'd see like that on that side, but I was so like, I had like a bad self-image of myself as a kid because I was like overweight.
Even to high school, you were overweight?
Uh-huh. And only when I got to like 16, some changes in my life happened that kind of like changed up like how I went about things. But, I had acne and like I was like overweight and like I didn't like I didn't have like a style or anything like that, you know,
like the idea of girls was way like,
oh my god, it was like no girl was gonna talk to me, you know. So that wasn't even like really like in the equation for me. I just thought every girl thought I was like ugly or some shit. So I start out high school though, and you know, like Richmond's like pretty suburban, like outside of the city. My dad lived in a city, but I lived with my mom in this county called Henrico County, which is like it's like nicer, you know. So I lived there, and I like, you know, like went to this high school with like. Richmond, for the size of the city it is, has like a lot of musical output from like hardcore to like metal. For whatever reason, it's just a very like artistic and creative city, despite the fact that it's only like 250,000 people. So it's like, you know, from like stuff like Lamb of God, like to like Avail, to Gwar, to like on the hardcore side, like Down to Nothing, Race War.
Nice hair.
Naysayer, yeah, definitely, like, you know, like all that. It's like,
oh, so you guys, yeah. I didn't know all those bands were.
All those bands are from Richmond. Oh, so man. And like that's the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. So the high school I went to was kind of known for like having like hardcore people there. As a lot of high schools there are, but mine in particular, I think like Count Me Out. Dudes were from there. Like, I think the drummer of Brace War was Prom King, you know, at some point in time.
That's
there.
Wow.
Rashad.
Rashad. I met him.
So Rashad was like Prom King in my high school before I was there, because he's older than me. But it was like not like a cool thing, but it wasn't like a not cool thing to be into. So
hardcore is like. Like normal.
Normal people in Richmond know what hardcore is because it's such like a thing. Yeah. Like
pre-TikTok, LA wasn't like that. Like hardcore was like
that makes sense.
You gotta dig through a tunnel. Everything was like punk, ska, or like
In Richmond it was like
that was your punk.
Sure. It's like people knew like what hardcore was.
Yeah.
I'm into high school, and I like at the time, a friend of mine that I'd grown up with had shown me. Well, what happens first is my dad is like, I want you to learn to play an instrument. Because my dad is actually really into music, and my love of music actually does come from him. He's really into classic rock, but like on some like, not just like he like likes that shit. He's like a student of that. Like he recently went on a tour to Europe. For 2 weeks just as a vacation, just to hit like hit like a ton of like classic rock spots. Like went to Liverpool to like check out a bunch of Beatles stuff, like went to like the drummer of the Who's like bar,
like classic,
or something.
Classic.
Yeah, he like 60s British Invasion like rock and roll.
I was thinking of like Latin.
Yeah. No. He like 60s British Invasion rock and roll, like, and stuff of that era. So he would be listening to that kind of stuff constantly when I was growing up. And he was like, you should, you know, I want you to like learn to play an instrument, because my dad did want me to be well-rounded. He wanted me to be educated. He wanted me to be like physically strong.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to
like top tier human being.
Yeah, yeah. Like straight up. That was like that's like what my dad wanted from me. And his delivery wasn't the best, but his intention, I get.
Yeah.
So
in the long run, that's it.
Yeah. So I was like, but I'm also lazy. I was like a lazy kid, kind of, and like can at times now, it doesn't seem like it, but I can be like a lazy dude. So I was like, Well, bass only has four strings, so that means that I probably won't have to learn as much shit. So I'll learn to play bass. So I got that, took some lessons. At the time, I was kind of into like some like radio rock, like Queens of the Stone Age. And I remember going to like bass lessons, like wanting to learn that. I was into like metal. Like I was into like Metallica. I liked like, I think at the time I like I think I might have been getting out of my Limp Bizkit phase. I didn't love nu metal, but I liked them, you know, for whatever reason.
You're a nu metal baby, right?
Not really.
Like, that was not what was popping when
you were... I mean, it was popping, but I wasn't like... Like
you were in a, that was in your
world. That wasn't really my world. I like select bands, but like when they were wearing costumes and shit, I was like, nah. I didn't like Slipknot. I didn't like Mudvayne. Like if it was more on the like, we just like look like regular guys playing this, I was down. Like I think, like I don't think I had any Deftones CDs, but I didn't hate them. I liked Korn songs that were on TV, but I never got a CD of theirs. But I was like very into Limp Bizkit when I was in middle school, but simultaneously was very into Metallica and Iron Maiden. So like it wasn't like I didn't zero in on nu metal at all. But so when I started learning to play bass, I also got really into like blues stuff randomly. Because a friend of mine that I grew up with was like really good at guitar, and he was like really into like also classic rock, but like blues oriented classic rock. So I had a lot of people coming from different angles showing me shit. And so when I was
that's a crazy for like a 6-year-old.
Oh yeah, I mean, well I'm 14.
Oh, 14. Yeah,
yeah, I'm 14. So I have a lot of stuff coming from like different angles, and I'm learning to play bass from this like jazz guy. And he's putting me on some jazz stuff. So I'm taking in like a lot of different things. I'm not really like, there's not just like one lane that I'm into until a friend of mine that I grew up with, and like he's been my friend since I was born. His parents were my parents' friends when my parents were together. He's getting into punk. And I think punk sucks. I'm like, oh, it's like, I'm into metal. So I'm like, this is like rudimentary. This is like anybody can play this. Like, and also something that to bring in is like a few years prior, there's a big pop punk boom. And like jocks at my school liked it. Like they liked Blink-182 and like Sum 41 and shit. Exactly. And I didn't like them because they were kind of whack to me.
Yeah.
Even though I was also playing football and stuff, but I wasn't like one of them. So I associated that with those guys. So I was like, I don't like that stuff because it's like dudes I don't like, like play this. Emo stuff is like kind of happening at the time too, and it's too whiny for me.
No, you were not into like Falling Reverse, Chiodo.
That comes like a little bit later. This is more like All American Rejects, Fall Out Boy. Like, I'm like not into anything like that. Dude, even like AFI is popping at the time, but because the man's voice is high, I'm like, that's lame. Even though I'm listening to metal that sounds like high vocals, I'm like, this isn't for me. My friend is showing me like 77 OG punk. He's showing me like Ramones, Sex Pistols, the Dead Boys. And eventually I like kind of am like, all right, like I can play this stuff. So it's like kind of cool. And we start a band together. I just want to be in a band because like I think it would be like cool to be in a band. So we started this band called The Reserve.
Very punk.
Yeah. Very. And like he's into
very
like,
stuff.
He's into like, and like punk is also big in Richmond, like away from hardcore. Like stuff like Avail is like they're like God. Like there is this band, the stuff that was kind of big when I remember was like stuff like Hot Water Music. This band Strike Anywhere is from there. Stuff like Smoke or Fire. Very like stuff that would play like The Fest.
Punk rock bowling.
Yeah.
Punk rock bowling.
That shit is like huge there. This dude is into that type of stuff.
Okay.
So he's like kind of putting me onto that. I like some of it. Like some of it doesn't really like hit for me, but I just want to play music. So we start this band and it's classic high school band. we don't, it's like, I want it to sound like X, he wants it to sound like Y, somebody else in the band wants it to sound like Z, yeah. And we end up just kind of sounding like a mess. But through this band, I realize I get put on to the Misfits somewhere in it. And I was like, oh, like, this is cool. And I start learning about the people in the band. And I'm like, I'm playing sports. I'm playing football and stuff at my high school. And I'm like, oh, those guys are football players. And I was like, I'm a football player. I was like, that's cool. I kind of thought punk people didn't, like, do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like, I'm getting into, like, lifting weights. And I'm like, oh, these guys are, like, jacked. And I was like, yeah. that's cool to me.
Yeah.
Like, and so then I start, like, I'll be in my car, and I'll start singing along to their songs. And I was like, oh, I can, like, kind of sing like this guy. And so that's kind of how I found out that I could, like, sing. And eventually, like, I stop playing bass in this band and start just being the front man. And we kind of go more of, like, a, like, we like kind of go like a Misfitty kind of route, but combined with like just 80s US hardcore punk.
Okay.
Because I get into that because of this friend, but yo, the thing is at the time I like hated hardcore. He took me to a hardcore show, and this is hardcore punk.
I've heard this before. Yeah.
He took me to a hardcore show. See this band, Direct Control, and they're opening for Agent Orange. And I knew about Agent Orange because of Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll go because I know the Tony Hawk song. I know Bloodstains. Yeah. And this band Direct Control plays, they open, and I'm like, yo, this fucking sucks. I was like, they play too fast. I can't understand what the guy's saying. Like, everybody here smells. Like, this is like whack to me. And what's really funny is that the dude, that band, the guy who drummed in that band would become super influential for me later. He would make bands that I, or like some of my favorite bands even still.
Like who?
This band Government Warning. It's a punk band from Richmond. He started a record label called No Way Records. From your area, they put out this band called Destroy LA.
Okay.
That was from San Pedro.
Yeah.
He ended up opening this store, Vinyl Conflict. This guy's name is Brandon Farrell. He has since passed, and he like left like ages before he passed. He left the store to this guy Bobby. That's still a big record store in Richmond and shit. He played drums in this band Career Suicide.
Career Suicide.
So the Attempted Suicide record, he's drumming on shit. And they like, I don't know if they flew him into Canada or what. He was in Municipal Waste at one point in time in the early,
like
the
OG.
Like OG lineup, like Municipal Waste.
Yeah.
So this guy was very influential on me. But I go to the show though, but like something about the energy, even though I was like, I don't like this shit, I was like, I'm still like kinda down. And like in Richmond, because of how big alternative music there was like pocket scenes that didn't really cross over to one another. So there's the hardcore punk scene, that's its own thing, and that's like bands like Direct Control, that's like what will become like Government Warning, this band Wasted Time.
Bands that sound like a Negative Approach.
Bingo. Bands that sound like Negative Approach, stuff that in the contemporary would be like Spy.
Yeah.
Or like we're in San Francisco right now, like that band Fentanyl, or like stuff that like the band Shit from Canada.
Like
it, that was its own thing.
And punk was its own thing.
Own thing. And no. But then even separate from that was the street punk scene. And that was like
street punk in Richmond?
Uh-huh. Then no, none of the bands really like got super big. There was this band No Way Out, this band Social Dropouts. And like, you know, they had their own shit. And then there was hardcore. So there's like Down to Nothing.
And the skinheads were with the street punk.
Well,
or skinheads, those are another thing.
Skinheads, there was some skinheads in Richmond, but they were mainly a Virginia Beach thing. And they, like, there were like some kind of punk skinheads, but like, bro, if there was like 20, like, that I'd probably be being like, what's the word I'm looking for here? That's generous. If there wasn't like a lot of like skins there,
okay.
That was more of like a DC Baltimore,
okay.
Like, but to your point, 86 Mentality is also kind of like in the, like they're in this world, and they are, that was like a skinhead sing for that band, and like, you know, but the hardcore, like capital H hardcore stuff, that's like during this time period, it's 2005, 2006, 2007, so that's Down to Nothing, this band Army of Fun, that's Brace War, that's Swamp Thing, that's its own, that's its own shit.
Yeah, Spinky Hardcore.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Richmond's called Fist City, and that's like a name for it. And there's this old hardcore band called Hate 04 that had a song called Fist City from the 90s. And it's because people mosh with their fists, not with their legs.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, that would be spin kick hardcore in the contemporary.
Yeah,
but back then, style-wise,
Richmond,
regional style was all hands.
Yeah.
And it was also extremely violent. Like, 90s heads would tell me, they'd be like, oh, you just go to a show and like regularly people just get maced. It was like, you go to a
mace?
Gig, yo, just random. You just get maced.
So you're like,
and
just like,
and just get maced. Yeah.
For no reason.
For like, yeah, no reason. I mean, dog, it was like, when you would go to shows in the 2000s in Richmond, it was like, it wasn't, is there going to be a fight at this show? It was, how many are there going to be? And it was just like,
were they off for no reason, or was it like,
I mean, okay.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pre-internet, you go to a gig, and like Richmond is like actually like kind of like a tough town, despite the fact that like I grew up in like a nicer part of the town, like you know, like I also grew up in the city as well, and I mean, in the 90s per capita, it was like the number three murder rate in the country. So it was like, you know, you kind of kept your head on a swivel when you were like in certain places. I mean, honestly, like the neighborhood we're in like right now.
Yeah.
You know, so like that translated to the scene a bit.
Yeah.
And like also it's like, if I remember correctly, it's like the people in the scene there, like in hardcore, like capital H hardcore, they're like big, big guys. And like, and they're also like athletic. These are like popular kids at high schools and shit, some of them. So they're like jocks and they're like jacked and shit. So like there is that kind of mentality came with Richmond hardcore a bit, where it's like you had dudes kind of clicking up, you know, and people are like, these are my boys and fuck everybody else in this room. And because the internet wasn't there to be like, oh, I've seen this guy online, like he's probably cool, you know, whatever. It was before that. So it was a lot of people being like, these are my friends and I'm keeping my eye out for like everybody else here. So it's a lot of tension. And they didn't like new people. So you know, it's like if you try to dance for certain bands, like you'd have like a big motherfucker coming after you. And stuff.
How was that for you? Like,
well, this all being said, I'm a punk guy, and I don't like that type of hardcore. And at the time,
did you dress punk, or like just so I can imagine it?
I had like leather jacket, like boots, jeans. I dressed like old school punk.
But you like anti-Semics.
I did love anti-Nowhere League for sure. Like I had like one jacket with like patches I had made and shit like that.
Okay.
I had like a bit of a battle vest, like some chains on that and stuff. That's like kind of me in like the first
pulling up to the hardcore show.
Half of high school.
Yeah.
Well, like what happened? And I remember how I kind of got into hardcore is out of spite, to be real with you. So there was a clique of kids in town that like tried to like fight my friend's dad at a show. And like as a kid,
for your friend's dad.
Yeah, well, yo, as a kid, and it's like I'm not this kind of guy, but like, you know, I'm full of piss and vinegar at the time. I had a butterfly knife on me, and I was like, oh, they're trying to fight my dad, like I'm gonna scare him off with this knife. So I like ran after these dudes with a knife. And at the time, I was like, why are they pissed at me for running after them with a knife or whatever? But as an adult, I'm like, of course they were going to be mad at me or whatever. Well, these kids hung out in a particular part of town that was near where my dad lived. And so I would go, like, and the record store, one of the record stores is in that part of town. So I'd go there, and, like, they'd try to jump me, you know, whatever. But, like, I'm a big guy. So, like, I could hold my own, like, you know, pretty fine. They never really got, like, they never really got the jump on me.
Yeah.
But we had friction.
Like, yeah.
Like, they were the cool kids in town, and I didn't get along with
them. Are you friends with any of those dudes now? Or they didn't even come around?
Well, what's interesting, it's kind of like, some of them, yeah, if we saw each other today, it'd be like, oh, hey, man, what's up? Like, it'd be like, cool. But, definitely some of them, actually. The thing is that these guys were, like, hella cool at one point in time in Richmond. And Straight Edge is big in the hardcore scene at this time. And honestly, it stayed really big in Richmond up until, I'd say, probably, like, 2017 or 18. These guys, well, I'll get to it. So I start kind of, like, out of spite being, like, yo, I'm gonna come to their shows, and they're not gonna do shit to me, or they're not gonna get me to stop coming around.
Yeah.
So, like, on, like, my, like, 18th birthday, I go to a Down to Nothing show. The lineup is Down to Nothing, this band Meltdown, Trash Talk, and this kind of new band, Trapped Under Ice, is opening. So I go to that gig, and, like, they didn't, like, blatantly, like, be like, yo, man, let's take a walk outside. But, like, people are moshing and shit, and then people are cheap shotting me for sure. But I was like, I'm not gonna start any problems. I'm just here to kind of be like, I can be here, and no one's gonna stop me from being here. So I, you know, and at this point in time, I've been, like, lifting weights for, like, a while. I've been, like, playing football and stuff. Like, I can handle myself. Also, nothing on, like, I'm just being honest, nothing on these guys. None of them were particularly big. There was one dude that was, like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, but he was, like, not around that much. So he wasn't at this show. But if he had been in the mix, that would have been kind of, like, a problem, to be honest. But the rest of them were kind of, like skinny. They were, like you know, like, little guys, kind of. So it wasn't really, like, an issue. But I kept coming around and stuff. And, like, occasionally over the years, we'd have, like, friction here and there. But, like, yo, all these guys, like, one year, all sold out and, like, stopped coming around. And so and by that point, I loved hardcore. Like, I was, like, so into it. And, like, you know, my punk band from high school had stopped. And, like, maybe, like, my first year of college.
Just out of curiosity, like, sidetrack.
Yeah.
So hardcore is, like, violent. Hardcore is, like, I mean, what you're saying is that, like, new people, they didn't like new people. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking, like, someone like Cheddar, like, who's, like, a really, like, chill dude.
Yeah.
Like, how do those fools, like, how did, like, someone chill from that era, like, get to be so chill and, like, pull up at a game?
I mean, dog, Cheddar doesn't seem like it now.
He was crazy?
Cheddar was in the streets, bro.
Really?
Yeah, like.
So, like, everybody in hardcore, so it's safe to say, like, everybody in hardcore who comes from that time,
you,
well, like, they're
got in the mix at least once.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was just kind of, like, unavoidable.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
I mean, yo, I'm not gonna put Ched on blast. Ched
he's just an example. I'm just, like,
I mean, no, I mean, like, yeah, he's, like, somebody that I, like, lived with at one point in time, and, like, have always supported, like, all his bands, like, from Tough Luck to Candy and, you know, everything, like, Lost Souls. Ched and I used to be, like, out there on, like, you know, like, getting into street fights, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
so that was inevitable in hardcore. Everyone who was in hardcore got in a street fight.
Essentially, that was kind of, like, if you were into that type of hardcore. Yeah, but even on the punk side, you know, like.
I mean, what are you, as you're an older dude,
yeah,
you're smart,
yeah,
what do you think about the hardcore now? Is that like that, like, a kid could just, like, pull up, like don't get me wrong, I don't want to be that guy where it's like, but, like, for example, the video of, like, the dude from Regulate at 1020 or No Pressure, where, like, someone just comes and, like, hits her leg. I was like, oh, we're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, it's like, it's gone to the other side. Where, yeah,
like,
there was a point where it's like, oh, welcome people, like, everybody's welcome, like, don't be that guy, don't gatekeep anymore.
Yeah.
But now it's like on the other side. Well, where, like, that would never happen. And from what you're saying, from what other people
you're
also.
You're bringing up a good point, and like, I like, to this day, like, hardcore is my life, man. Hardcore and like metal, like, and punk, like, that shit is my life. And I'm proud to say it. And like, it's like, I got love and I have critiques of the contemporary. Like, I do think we've gone a little too far afield the other direction, where it's like, what I always sat behind was, it's like, hey man, hardcore is welcome to anyone, but it's not for everyone. And I think right now it's like what it's kind of turned into is that it's positing itself as for everyone, but I don't think that's hardcore's doing. I think that's kind of the outside being like, they've like made it that way.
There's like hardcore YouTube channels now where it's like,
which is like fine, but it's just like, what happened, the situation you're bringing up about Regulate, would just, I feel like back in the day, that just like wouldn't have, people like that were there had a little more reverence.
Even like 5 years ago when I was playing.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot more casuals now.
It's like a normie straight up. Like straight up, like fools are like, I'm gonna go to the bar and like, rather than pressure you, like it's a concert.
And it's like, I'm a promoter. So it's like, on one hand, I'm like, it's sick there's so many people that are at shows, but it's like, I'm also like a lifer. So I'm like, I also don't like casual style behavior though. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, like, I don't know, not to sound like this, but I feel like not just in Richmond, but a lot of scenes, kids that come out now would have gotten eaten up. I'm just being, it's like, it's not like old head style dude, but I think certain scenes back in the day, it's like, kids, those kids would not have stuck around. They would have gone to their first show, and this isn't cool either, but probably gotten their ass kicked, and then they've been like, well, fuck that, I'm not gonna go to that anymore. But a big difference between then and now is this. I talk about this all the time. Young people now have so much access to everything, and there's so many different things they can get into, because there's not like, they don't have to go like digging as hard as you and I did growing up, that if you go to a show and people are whack to you, they're just gonna be like, I'm just gonna get into something else. Whereas when I was growing up, kind of like I talked about, it was like, I found this secret thing, and I'm gonna dig my heels in, because I work to be here.
Yeah.
You know, now people don't really work to be there.
To be fair, I'm not like, I'm only 20, so I'm not like, I haven't been.
Yeah, you're a young man.
Yeah, I haven't been. But I mean, I don't want to be like, I don't want to put myself like I'm better, but like, people are just dumber nowadays. It's just like, we live in a dumber world. You know what I mean?
You have a lot of people that it's like, all right, let's take Jeff G from Cold as Life. Let's take that guy. You know, like, it's like, he's talking about it on another podcast. The man went to jail for a long time. He had a hard life. And you take him and put him next to some random civilian that saw a cool, like, TikTok video of hardcore that shows up and is, like, there to party and something like that. It's like, one of these people needs this, and one of these people wants this. And there's a difference between needing hardcore and needing those kind of rooms and just wanting to be there. You can want and need, you can have that both at the same time. But I think there's a difference. There's something that brings in the hardened criminal that is into hardcore, and also the like Harvard graduate that's into hardcore. There's something that brings those two people together. They couldn't be any different from one another in regards to probably what their day-to-day life and their upbringing is like. But there's something about hardcore music and metal music and punk music that those people meet in the middle and are like, hey man, I need this too. The person that is just kind of like, looks fun, and it does, and it is, like, it's not like they don't have a right to be there, but those two guys I just mentioned, or those two people rather, their interaction with what goes on is different than that person that's coming in casually. And I feel like that casual person just didn't exist as much years ago.
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic, pre the boom that we experience right now.
Yeah, I mean, because Just having having TikTok on your phone. Like people like I think I was talking to someone yesterday about it. Like oh we have Facebook. I'm like yeah Facebook. You can track with the people, like you know that you knew. But it's like TikTok. I could see a video of like how to make the history of George Washington like in a minute.
Bingo.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know what I mean. Like the most random shit. You know what I mean. Like
you're not just interacting with people that you know on there.
Yeah.
You're consuming stuff from all over. Whereas previously you had a circle.
And it's like I understand there's trends. Like I've talked to other people, like older people. Where it's like oh yeah, like Title Fight. There was an era. Like Stories Apart, that was an era.
I remember.
Blink 182, like you know, yeah. they dug deep or whatever. But like now it's like Balanced Scowl and like. But I'm like, the internet is the only difference from the like from trends. You know what I mean? Like this, like you can't take it. I don't. I mean, we're not gonna live in a world without internet anymore. I'm not, no, knock on wood. But yeah. Like that's just something that I'm like. Is hardcore ever gonna go? Do you think it's gonna go back to like? Nah, maybe it's not gonna be exactly the same or the music. But like you've been like I don't want to offend anyone or anything. Like this is not don't diss anyone particularly. It's just what I see.
Sure.
There was a pardon if I'm a little bit wrong. There was a time where Weekend Nachos, Hoax, Twitching Tongues, Trash Talk.
Yep.
Trapped Under Ice, mm-hmm. and like Career Suicide were all like. Touring or yeah. bands,
yeah,
like and like even New Brigade or something like, but just
oh,
like just
yeah.
they're just like bands. You know what I mean? Like yeah. we're a band, we play music, we tour and have our fun, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now a lot of bands, like don't get me wrong, I know there's a bigger platform. You could do more. You could have different styles, more accepted. But like that part of hardcore, where it's like, yo, we're just gonna pull up in our shorts and like play it to like 20 people. It's kind of dying down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a band like Hoax, like that, yeah. like just like some freak, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well. Like I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
and on, I think that still exists on the very punk side of things.
Yeah.
Like I think like that energy.
Of just being a band. You know what I mean?
Like, of just like I'm being a band. I don't care about streams. I don't care about like, you know, like viral shit. You know, and it's like, and personally, it's like I like don't. You know, I made an Instagram recently for MAD, recently, in the past couple months, because, like, previously that, I was like, it's like, I don't want the rat race of, like, social media and having to, like treat my band like a brand, but I mean, and not to say that bands in the past didn't do that, like, to the extent, but it's like, there is more of, like, how do we... You know, how do we game the system to become popular? Type situation. You know, in this shit. And it's like, you know, I don't know. I know what you're saying, and it's really weird. Like I think about this like all the time. Where it's like, it did just used to be, not to say that it isn't necessarily anymore, but it did used to just feel like it's like, I just want to like get in the van with some friends and like play some shows and...
So-and-so is playing and they play good music and that's it. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, baby, it's like the fact that like, it's like you hear about like hardcore bands like having like PR firms and like working with like A&R people and stuff like that. Not to say that that's never happened before, but it's like that kind of stuff happens like way more now. And it's like in some cases it's like I get it, because it's like, well, if you want, because of how big hardcore is booming right now, it's like if you want people to pay attention to you, like, you know, sometimes like it, if you want people to pay attention to you, like if, and you're like, I think what it kind of gets down to is a lot more people are like, oh, I want this to be my job. Where in the past, people would laugh at you.
No, and it's like, the opportunity is there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I understand that, like, now...
The opportunity didn't used to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, now you can make a living off of hardcore. And yeah. I understand that. But if you notice, there's less bands as a whole mm-hmm. in hardcore. There's less bands. There's, you know what I mean? And the people who are in bands have been in bands for a while.
What I'll say is that I don't think there's less bands, but I think if we're, let's make the comparison to the like let's make the comparison to like social classes. I feel like there's like 1% of hardcore bands that is like way up there playing a like huge numbers like the Drains of the world, the Drug Churches of the world, the Tsunamis of the world, like, you know, like that kind of stuff. And then I feel like there's like. Not really like as much of a middle class anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, you see what I'm saying? I feel like it's either you're like going gangbusters or you're like playing to no one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's
a good point. Or just like, you know, I feel like previously there was a lot of middle class hardcore, for lack of a better term. Like stuff that's like, we play around some, like, you know, it's like we go on tour here and there, like we'll play the occasional festival, but like this isn't like, you know, we have day jobs.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like now I feel like it's the bands that are like, this is all I'm doing. And then there's people that are like, no one knows about us. And it's so I feel like that's kind of like the big difference. I feel like, and I might be speaking out of turn, but I feel like there's not as much middle of the road, you know, like side kind of like we do this on the side, because it's like I've always had to work. You know, I got out of college and like both my parents kicked me out. And
is it rebellious?
Huh?
Is it like you're rebellious or like?
Kind of, yeah. Like my mom was getting over like me coming in like late at night to her house right after I got out of school. And my dad and I were like beefing at the time and just like not talking. So I got out of school and I was like, all right, well, I need to pay rent. So like I was never in like a band that like could tour, you know, like months at a time. I was like, oh no, bro, I gotta you know, I gotta pay bills. So I would only do like weekends and like beg to get on festivals and stuff like that. You know, so it's like.
Well, do you think hardcore will ever, like again, trends exist, but the internet being the new factor?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever go back? Like, basically what we're saying is that the middle ground is where, like, the top 40 hardcore kids that only listen to top 40 bands and that like the underground, like, crazy shit met, and then that's when friction happened and fools got beat up or whatever, or...
Yeah.
And now it's, like, you're either seeing a huge band, like, No Pressure at the Velocity or something, or you're, like, in the room with, like, 10 people on, like, a Thursday. Do you think hardcore will ever be violent again? Do you think hardcore will ever be scary again? Do you think hardcore will ever be a thing where, like, you should come and think, or come and, like, be, like... Let me see. I need to know. I need to see how I move.
Do you want me real? Like, I don't. This is a for better or for worse scenario, because it's like I'm like happy. It's not as crazy. I'm happy that it's not just random people getting beat up anymore all the time. At the same time, I got into hardcore because I liked the danger. So me personally, I like liked that. I liked kind of feeling like, oh, some fucked up shit could happen here. Like, you know, like I was into that. Now I feel like, I don't feel like it's gonna go back to that, because on the most underground side of stuff right now is more punk related stuff, in my opinion. And that's not really the vibe on punk, on the punk side of things. And like hardcore now, right now, is like just so popping and like everybody has access to it. So I don't really think it's gonna happen over there. But it's like, you know, at the same time, it's like cool to be able to play to like a ton of people and there not be like a problem. Like,
but I think a lot, like, again, as a promoter, as someone who's been there for a while, like you've seen the difference.
Yeah.
As me, who like, I just saw a glimpse of that, like going to hardcore shows a little bit before COVID.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, there's a room of like a couple hundred kids, but like. Like, I'm talking to, like, five kids who are actually, like, sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Like, before, like, when, like, you know what I mean? I could be in a room of, like, literally 300 kids that like hardcore. They're not even kids anymore.
Yeah.
But, like, in a room of 300 people like hardcore, and why do all these people kind of suck? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't feel like they're the hardcore, like what we said, like, the hardcore breed, where it's like, it's for anyone, a kid from anywhere, any class, but you're like a specific breed.
Yeah.
But I don't see that anymore. It's just me.
I think also it's like, you're from like Southern California. It's like, it's a really, like, it's like a very populated area. It's a really popping scene. It's like, I feel like you're going to see way more casual activity, like, at a place like that.
Yeah,
I see that in San Jose some. Richmond has, like, really good shows, but it's, like, not as big of a populace. So I feel like I don't see... There's definitely weirdos.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and, like, not, like, not like the I'm maladjusted, like, to society type weirdos. Like, you know... The phenomena of, like, kids that come in, like, corpse paint and shit, like, that's happened post-COVID. Which, I mean, do your thing, I guess. I don't understand where that came from, but, you know, it's just different. It's, like, not, like, it doesn't feel, like, kind of, like, as much of, like, this thing of ours, you know, like, as, like, it did. But you know what? It's, like, Things do change, and you either adapt or you become a relic of another time.
Lee says, like, shit's gotta change. Shit's gotta evolve.
You know
what I mean? It can't stay one way forever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you just kinda gotta, like, when my friends were, like, feeling kinda down and out about stuff at one point in time, it was actually pre-pandemic, I would tell them, I'm like, hey, man, you just gotta seek out the stuff that you do fuck with.
Yeah.
It's like, don't let the shit bother you that you hate. It's like, just seek out the shit that you think is cool and just attach yourself to that. Go to the shows that you think are cool and just enjoy, you know? Yeah. But
it's still there, at least.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it's yeah. Hardcore's still there, at least.
You and I mean, so we're going to a couple shows tonight, and, like, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the kind of, like, my timeline at this point, like, I was, like, in college. I was in a punk band briefly called CCP, stood for Community Corrections Program. Because of the influence from, like, stuff like Government Warning and Wasted Time and Direct Control and, like, that Grave Mistake and No Way Records type stuff, I wanted to do a U.S. 80s hardcore band, pre-86 style. But I'm also really into the Boston sound, so I'm into SSD, I'm into DYS. I like straight-edge hardcore punk music from the early 80s. So I'm like, I like Minor Threat, I like Uniform Choice.
Slapshot?
Like, I like Slapshot. So I wanted to make a band that was emulating that type of stuff. So I made this band, Community Corrections Program, I played bass in. So I had stopped singing, and we were a band for, like, a couple years, you know, just played around, like, VA and DC. Nothing really that wild. But at the end of college, and, like, you know, I'll briefly kind of touch on, like, the straight edge thing. I've never drank, never done drugs. Before I knew what hardcore was, kind of one of the reasons I got into hardcore was because I found out about straight edge, and I was like, oh, I already live that way. So I already identify with this.
Were you scared, or, like, it's like...
No, I just, I was like...
Whatever.
I didn't like the idea of not being in control of my mind. And I also was like, because I kind of grown up with my dad being like, you're going to be smart, you're going to be strong, you know, you're going to be, like well-versed in, like, the arts and stuff like that. There was an aspect that was like, I'm also going to be, like, kind of like...
Also, dad just kept you busy, you know what I mean? Like, yeah there's not a lot of time to, like...
There was a thing in my own mind. My dad would have thought it was cool if I drank and stuff, because he was like a frat guy. So he would have been, like, into that. But for me, it was like, I'm also going to be, like a warrior. I'm going to be, like, kind of like a, like, nothing about me is going to be dull, you know? Like, it's like, I'm always going to be alert and aware, and, like, I'm not going to, like, let anything, like, I'm not going to let vices get in the way of, like, you know, things I want to do. So when I found out about straight edge, I was like, oh, I already identify with this. I would still, if I never found hardcore, I'd still be living that way. Because it was just like, I just didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
So I got into that, and that band CCP was a straight edge band, like a la SSD and DYS. But a guy in that band started singing for another band that got popular locally and didn't want to do it as much. So we just broke up, and I started Breakaway.
Yeah.
And
the band for Virginia, I guess, like.
Oh, and I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but, like, nah, it would, like, I mean, like, dude.
Nah, I think there's the demo or the first EP where it's like, you're like, is it you wearing this?
Yeah.
That's so straight edge.
Yeah. It was in DC.
Yeah.
It was on our first weekend tour. I mean, the thing is, man, is like, yo, to be real, for the first 4-5 years, it was a struggle to get people to give a shit about Breakaway in Richmond. Because I like youth crew. I like the, like I was a jockey guy. I was like, I like the, like, sports look. I liked, you know, like the Lettermans and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, were your favorite youth crew bands like Ten Yard Fight, no?
That was a band that got me, that was a band that was like, oh, they're straight edge. They're singing about football. I play football. I'm straight edge. Like, it was like, that was kind of like, you know, Floor Punch is my favorite band. I like stuff like that, that second wave straight edge stuff, or second wave youth group. And I got into that, and I wanted to do a band like that. But, yo, kids in Richmond did not rock with that sound at all. That was more of like a DC, Baltimore.
They're into like the, what you said, fist
fighting. They were more into like, at that time, the poppin' stuff is, let's see, Naysayer's still going pretty hard. Race War still doing it.
This is like LA would be internal affairs, Donnybrook era.
Yeah, that era. Exact era. Yeah, this is like early 2010s.
Okay. It's like Love Beast build.
So it's like stuff with like Rolling Tom fills and stuff like that is not like, that's not what kids are like rocking with.
Yeah.
But like I was friends with a lot of people and, you know, I just kept at it. Like I was just like, I went through so many lineup changes. But my friend Judge, he put out Judge is also a huge influence too. The band, but this guy, his name is Judge. He put out our first 7-inch, the one you're talking about. And, you know, we would just, I was working. So we would play like weekends and festivals. I'd be like, hey, can we, I think we played at Sound and Fury. And I literally was like, we'll play for free. Just if we can play, we'll find a way to get out there.
Did you guys play for free?
Yeah, play for free. And you know, came out in 2012 and did that.
You guys opened it?
We didn't open, but we were like maybe like third or something one day. But our friends were doing this band Tough Luck that Cheddar was in, we mentioned earlier. So Tough Luck is happening. And this band Deadbeat.
Power Violence?
They were on some kind of like, they got into kind of like Satan at one point in time. They're there's the band Deadbeat. Hard Stripes starts happening around this time period. And like these are the bands that we're like playing with and like our friends with, like, you know, like at home and stuff. And like we start making friends with kids in New Jersey. And this is the first band I'm in that I'm like touring. I'm like going out of town and stuff. But it just like kind of kept at it. And like, you know, Jared from TUI and DTN started a label and he did our second 7-inch. You know, we're playing like Edge Days in Atlanta and like.
Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Like Edge Day, like Edge straight Edge events play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. So that wasn't as much of a thing on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, like Edge Day would be a thing every year.
Literally a holiday, yeah.
It was a holiday. Yeah. It was based off of the last 10 yard fight show in 97, 10-17. And it was mainly a Boston thing. And we did play Edge Day in Boston a couple times.
Do you know how that became to be an actual holiday?
Yeah. 10 Yard Fight's last show, 10-17, 1997 or 99. I can't remember.
Or who pushed it? Is this like on like American holiday?
Yeah.
But like who pushed it? Like, or like
Boston people mainly at first, but then it just became like a thing. Like, you know, and there would be like, I think like Philly had like their own Edge Day show at one point in time. We played that with like Youth of the Day and Foundation. We played it like because we had the Straight Edge thing behind us. If there was a Straight Edge kind of like event happening, we would get hit up to play. You know, so like that actually helped a lot.
Do you look back now and you're do you still feel the same way of like Straight Edge?
I do. The rest of the world doesn't seem to, but I still...
Straight Edge is not popular, in my opinion.
Not at all.
Even the kids who are Straight Edge are not like...
They're not like that. They're not as like... They don't beat their chest about it.
Yeah, like they're not having the jacket anymore.
No.
Like,
the Letterman is very out of style currently. Mine is in my closet. I would wear it around, but it's just like, you know, it feels like a relic, you know, a bit. And I feel no different about being Straight Edge. It's just...
Do you think people should still be doing that? Like, Edge Day still a thing in the Midwest? Like, or like in the...
Not the Midwest. It was the East Coast.
Oh, the East Coast.
I mean, it happened. It was like a thing everywhere, but like it was like mainly... Like, the shows were mainly... You'd see Atlanta. You'd see Philly. I did one in Richmond one year. You'd see Boston.
But it's still a thing or not anymore?
Not really. I don't see people doing the Edge Day show anymore.
Damn.
And I just think it's just like there's just not as much interest. I mean, I have a theory about that. It's like kind of what we're talking about earlier. Kids are so more ubiquitous.
What's ubiquitous?
Meaning like they're so more like into everything.
Oh, okay.
That they don't they don't want to like section themselves off to like a label.
Yeah. There's not like the I'm this thing and you're just like
I'm this. You get crazy. I'm like, only this.
You're like in this room of like this thing that you are and you just go crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Yeah. I get what you mean.
People aren't as this is my tribe and I only am sticking to like, because back in the day, man, if like, it's like, I was a weirdo. I was into a bunch of different types of hardcore. Back in the day, it would be like, oh no, I'm into like this, I'm into like power violence, and I don't listen to anything else.
Yeah.
Like that was how like it used to be.
Well, do you think that's do you think that's cool? I feel like you should
kind
listen
of to, no, but
I feel like it goes in the middle where it's like you should like pick and choose like what, like, because at the end of the day all these subgenres have a very common personality.
Yeah,
you know, power violence are like a certain type of people. Yeah, grindcore are a certain type of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love punk so much.
Yeah,
I love punk a lot.
Yeah,
and I like musically equally punk as much as hardcore.
Sure,
but I am 100% hardcore kid.
Yeah,
I'm not a.
That's
punk.
Kind of like me, where it's like, yo, man, I play in like a very metal band now, but yo, at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm a hardcore guy.
Yeah, like the breed, the way I act, like, the way I live, the way I think,
I prefer to go to a show, the way I prefer to, exactly.
Yeah, the way I want to socialize, everything is hardcore. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's like, that's how I actually approach stuff, is I approach it as a hardcore person, not a metal person.
See, yeah, and I guess that goes the same thing with like how kids like everything, they just try to act, they don't really have like, again, they don't have like, I'm a hardcore kid.
Like these are my ethics.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I think straight edge is not as big right now, because it's like you have to have like a very like, oh no, this is what I'm about, like strongly.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that'll come back into.
I feel like that might come back.
I think it's going to take the right band.
Exactly.
It's going to have the right approach.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to be like, not like coy about it. They're going to have to be like, kind of like how like Tsunami like is like real bass shit.
Yeah.
Like you know, like we're from fucking here. Yeah. You know?
There has to be like another like death threat, like Bahart, like Straight Edge.
Something like that, where they're like, this is like, we're about this.
Or just like everybody's like singing along, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
instead of moshing.
There's gotta be like a big like, yeah, the lyrics are gonna have to be like pretty like blatant, but also people don't like feeling excluded now more than ever. So they're gonna have to be like blatant, but not like "fuck you if you're not like me" kind of thing.
Mm.
Because if kids can't attach themselves to that, they're gonna be like, "Well, this band hates me, so I'm not gonna be into them."
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, well, fuck that band." You know? Yeah.
But I think about this shit kind of a lot. But anyway, so I do this, and I'm living in Richmond. I do this band for kind of a long time. I do Breakaway for like 8 years.
You guys broke up like, well, not recently, but like
2019, the very,
yeah,
very beginning.
I still remember it.
Very, very, like February 2019. And, you know, we do an LP with React, and I sent him this long letter for the first LP that was like, you should put us out because of the following reasons. And it was like an essay. And he was like, these are all good points. He didn't even really know me. And he was like, I'll do it.
That's crazy.
So, we put out Face Aggression and had a really good time off of that. You know, we're playing This Is Hardcore. We're playing.
Where'd you guys play your last show?
Richmond at this place, The Warehouse.
Sick.
And it was just like all Richmond shit. It was like Brace or Naysayer, Division of Mine, and Downfall.
This is 2019?
2019, yeah.
Huh.
So I wanted to put on for the old heads that brought me up, and I wanted to put on for the new people, was this Division of Mine and Downfall. So we did that at like Feb 2019. But like, you know, during, this is like 2015 is when Face Aggression comes out, and like, you know, we're playing This Is Hardcore, we're playing United Blood, we're playing Midwest Blood that would become LDB. We played Detroit kind of a lot because we've become friends with that band True Love that just had their last show. Don't get to do California as much as I would have liked just because of distance and I have to work.
Yeah.
But like we did like a weekend out here with like Misery and Beautiful Ones.
I love the Beautiful Ones.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Those guys rock. And then we did one towards the end with Dead Heat and this band Red Vision. And Red Vision would go on to become this band Killing Pace. You know, played one Sound and Fury in there, played Rainfest somewhere in there. Like, we hit, like, a lot of the festivals.
You guys did a lot for, like, a very, like, DIY ethic, straight edge band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we didn't have, like, we never had an agent.
Yeah.
We never had anybody booking. I booked all the shows for us.
You guys were in pro core.
Yeah, we, like, weren't doing anything like that. We were, like, you know, like, I got to go over to Europe 2 times.
With Breakaway?
With Breakaway. Breakaway went to Europe with Down to Nothing in 2016. So they kind of put us on and took us over there because they were our old heads. And then we went as a headliner in 2018. But before we did that, and then I swear, I think we came back and the shows over there were like, okay. And you know, Breakaway was fun. We played fun sets. We had a really good time. We came out with a second LP in 2017, but I'm gonna be honest, I don't think we put as much work into that one. So it wasn't as like well received as the first one.
Yeah, like
but then
is what we talked about earlier. Like, yeah. Like, there's not a lot of that anymore. Like, just we're just a band. This is what we're about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, well, also, we just, there weren't, I'm gonna be just real, there just weren't as many tracks. Like, mm-hmm. we, like, had more tracks in the first shit. And then, and this time, I was like, I kind of felt, I was like, by 2017, I was like, well, I was like, I want to be like Count Me Out. So I want to have a second LP, like, because they had, like, I like kind of modeled us after them, where they had like a more youth crew leaning LP one. I mean, and also by the time we were doing an LP, we're not just like a youth crew band. We're kind of more of just like an in the middle of the road hardcore band. LP two, I wanted to go a little more melodic, but we didn't really like lean into it enough. So I feel like we didn't like miss the mark kind of. I'm still like I still like some songs in that record, but that comes out, it's not like as tight. I can also like, it's not as tight, it's not as like punch. I don't feel people as feeling as passionate about us at when that comes out, and it also doesn't sell as well as the first one. And by this time too, I'm also kind of noticing some friends like that, like our unit, our clique is like some of the people in it are not as into hardcore as they used to be. So I'm kind of noticing that. And then in like 2018, like a lot of like our straight edge homies around us, like they sell out and are like kind of getting out of hardcore. Some of them are sticking in it. And we do this one weekend, and it was like around an edge day in 2018 in Boston. And other than one gig, the weekend's like pretty shot. And we play like a hometown show, and like no one comes. And I was like, yo, I think it's like time to like hang this up. And I think we would have done it a little bit sooner that year. But we had scheduled to play the Alone in a Crowd reunion in Philly. That Joe Hardcore had set up for us, and Joe always put us on really cool shows. So I was like, well, I was like, I don't want that to be our last show, because it's not in Richmond. So I was like, all right, we'll do that, and we'll set up a hometown show. And you know, we did that, and then like, you know, early 2019, we break up. And I try out a few things in this time period. Wait a second. I feel like I did. I'm trying to remember when. No, I think the Edge Day show in Boston would have been 2017, and I did an Edge Day show in Richmond 2018. That should have been our last show, but we had this Philly show scheduled with Joe Hardcore, so I didn't want to make that our last one. But anyway, we announced we were breaking up at Richmond Edge Day that year. 2019 comes in, and I'm kind of in a transitional place in my life. A lot of my friends are selling out, and I've been like with this like straight edge clique for like a long time. I just kind of had come out, like a relationship I was in had just ended, and I'm like, this band I had a lot of identity with is stopping, and this friend group that I have a lot of identity with is also kind of like going in different directions.
And your relationship?
And my relationship's over.
Just wanted you know that we're closing up.
Yeah. Okay. What do you want to do?
Can we do 5 minutes by any chance? Or five minutes? Just 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, it's like it's 2019. I can speed it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in a weird spot.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm in a weird spot. 2019 was like a rough year, honestly, for me. I started a new band somewhere there called Neuromancer. That would have been cool. Actually, it was cool. We only played like three shows, but like it never really like hit. It was kind of like integrity like style. We had some cool imagery, and like it was like integrity meets like kind of like some Japanese hardcore, like Japanese stuff like Bastard or Death Side. You know, we only played like three gigs, and you know, like it's the guys in it just didn't really want to do it anymore. And somewhere in there, I had done a Misfit set, cover set, like full outfit and shit. And I was like singing at Glenn. And people that I knew from hardcore were like, you can sing? And I was like, oh, yeah. And they were like, why don't you do a band where you sing? And I was like, oh, well, I can maybe do that, but I wouldn't want it to sound like Misfits. I'd want it to sound like Only Living Witness or like Life of Agony.
Yeah.
And so like I like kind of like I hit up this guy that was in this band called Holy Land, that was called Spirit Animal at one point in time, and he was a really good, interesting musician, but not really a hardcore guy. He's like more like a metal guy, more of an experimental music guy. And I was like, would you want to do a band? And because I saw him at the last Breakaway show, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he asked me some questions and stuff, and like was like, you know what? Okay, I'm down. So I got him. I hit up the dude that was in Fire and Ice and Down to Nothing, Groder, who like he's also in Brace War. They weren't doing as much, and I was like, hey man, do you want to like do a band where you get to like kind of like just do whatever you want on guitar? And he was like, yeah, I do. And I hit up my bro Eric from Breakaway, that was in Breakaway with me. He lives in Brooklyn. And then our man JD, who was drumming, he had filled in for Naysayer a few times and had been in this band Lost Souls with Cheddar, and he was just finished college. And I was like, you got anything going on? He's like, no. So we started Mutually Assured Destruction. That's in May. We start practicing in May of 2019, and the demo is out in July of 2019, and we get hit up immediately by Joe Hardcore. And he was like, do you want to play the pre-show for This Is Hardcore? So that was our first show. So our first show wasn't even in Richmond, it was in Philly. We do that, and the momentum's good. Like, you know, we're starting off cool. Like, not even like 7 months later, we have the 10-inch out on Edgewood, who was like my friends, had been like running this label Edgewood, that was doing like Blind Justice, Dead Heat, like, God, a bunch of other stuff. Like, doing a really good job. And, I'd always wanted to have a record out on them. So we come out with that record. And then, you know, like we were doing like a weekend with like Incendiary, and like we're like people that I met through doing Breakaway, like we're getting like some good opportunities. We like played like some crazy shows up to this point. And then our last shows with Terror in North Carolina and Restraining Order, and then the world stops. We just come out with a record, and it really, really hurt the momentum. But over the pandemic, you know, I'm working. I had worked at UPS Freight right out of college.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just working for corporate for them, started on customer service, and worked my way up to data analytics. I'm terrible at math, so I don't know how the fuck I got that job. But, to be straight up, I'm like, yo, when we, like, started working from home from the pandemic, I was able to kind of fake it when I was at the office, that I knew what I was doing. When I got home, though, and started working from home, I was like, oh, yo, they're going to figure out that I don't know how to do this at all.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to quit. And so I, after being there for, like, 9 years, quit and got into roofing repair sales. Because my cousin, worked at this roofing firm. And that's what I still do now here in the Bay. I started doing that. But, you know, and somewhere in 2019 as well, I started Forum. Because when Breakaway stopped, I thought I wasn't going to do a band anymore. And I was like, oh, I'm going to start this podcast. But I couldn't stay away. I don't think I'll ever not be in a band. So that's how MAD started. But I started Forum to kind of take the place of Breakaway.
Yeah.
But I just ended up doing both MAD and Forum. And that was influenced by this podcast, the Bret Easton Ellis podcast, which is about film, but I wanted to do a version of that where he like interviews people in the film industry and television. I wanted to do a version of that, but for hardcore and metal and punk music. So we do that with my friend Sam that was in Breakaway with me. And also it's kind of inspired by Inside the Actor's Studio. It wasn't inspired by hardcore or metal stuff. It was inspired by film shit. And I just wanted to like kind of get down to the like, how did people get into hardcore? How did people get into metal? How did people get into punk? Like, what led you there? It was kind of like the deal with it. And I'm about to hit episode 100 next week.
Sick.
So I'm a bit happy with that. But yeah,
not to kiss your ass, buddy. That's like my favorite hardcore
podcast. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. Thank you. Well, it's serious. It's a little more serious than some of the other ones.
It's what you want from I don't want to talk about, you know, I'm not talking
it's
about
like, that. It's an interview podcast that gets into the kind of the serious nature of people's lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Other hardcore podcasts are like it's like they're more fun by design. They're more like discussion. They're more like
music.
Yeah. This one's a little more about people focus. So
yeah.
I don't think there's too many out there that are like super akin to it, other than like yours and maybe a couple others.
Yeah.
So during this time period, I'm just at home, you know, I started dating this girl in California. that we had met through mutual friends, and she had grown up around hardcore too, but had moved up here from Southern California, and you know, a long time ago. And because flights were cheap during the pandemic and nobody was on planes, like I was able to fly here for like $200, like round trip.
Yeah.
So I'm coming here all the time, hanging out with her. I'm able to work from my computer and everything. And I become acquainted with the Bay, and things open back up. And as things open back up pretty quickly, we were at a spot we've been dating for almost like 2 years where she was like, all right, like,
what's going to happen?
Well, she has a really strong career here in the Bay. And I had like what I refer to as a nicely paying job for Richmond, but it's a job, not a career, in my opinion. So it was like, you know what? You've got a really good thing going. I had like through government grants found a way to buy a house in Richmond right before the pandemic happened. So I was like, I'll keep my house here. I'll keep my room here. And as long as you're cool with me having my spot here and like my house that my homies live at with me, and I'm able to kind of go back and forth a little bit, I will come to the Bay. And so I'm still booking shows in Richmond, and I'm still like doing like MAD with my bros in Richmond and stuff. I'm still going back there all the time, but I spend most of my time here in San Francisco area.
It sounds like everything you lost after Breakaway finished, you gained that times two.
Yeah,
you gained another band.
Yep.
You gained a podcast. You gained a relationship that, hopefully it's...
Best. I mean, like, yo.
Hopefully now that's your relationship.
I'm hoping this is the last
one. Yeah. You go to the grave with it. Yeah.
So it's like stuff definitely worked out. I inherited another scene, getting to be out here and like becoming friends with the Tsunami people and stuff, and hanging out with those guys a lot. So like that's cool too. MAD's going to come, you know... I'll say that right here at the end. I'm doing this out here and bouncing back and forth, and you know, we come out with, you know, during lockdown I had done a flea market in Richmond because there was nothing else, you couldn't have shows.
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of labels to come and sell stuff that they had in stock, I was like, hey, like, do you like Triple B hit me up and was like, hey, can I come down and sell stuff? And I was like, yeah, sure. He comes down, and I was like, I had a conversation with him after that, and I was like, hey man, like, I've been friends with you for a long time. You know, I like your label a lot. Would you be down to do an MAD record? Because we were kind of a tough band, because it was like, do we go the metal direction or do we stick hardcore?
Yeah.
You know? And we ended up writing a metal record that came out on a hardcore label. So, you know, we do that. Super proud of Ascension, super proud of that record. Really happy that Sam did it, and we get to be associated with all these like sick bands, you know, like the best hardcore label to me right now of that type of hardcore. And you know, lockdown rescinds, and we just start gigging, you know, like not a ton, but like, you know, because it's like we all work, we all got stuff going on, but you know,
you guys are definitely active for like how, like for you know, for based on what you're telling
me. Yeah, like we're like, you know, playing gigs and then forced like doing like weekends, you know, like around the East Coast.
California.
We came out of California in 2022.
Yeah.
We're going to try to do California at least once a year, every year, forever, I guess.
MADs are for everything, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I don't plan to ever stop doing it. Like, I want it to be the kind of band where it's like, even if, like, say we don't play for like a bit or something like that, we can just like jump on stage somewhere and like, or just like set up a hometown gig, or because part of our people live in New York, one of our guys lives there, hit like a Vitus show, like play, just like, you know, just be able to just always play.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we try to play something every other month right now. Like this year, it's like we started out playing Disturbing the Peace with Trapped Under Ice and like Never Ending Game and End It and stuff. So we get to play some cool bands there. March this year we did LDB, so we get to play a festival, play in front of a bunch of people. It's awesome. Played like a big Tsunami show at home like a week later, and then like we played Black and Blue in May. This summer we're not doing anything June, July, but then we got three California shows
with Doomsday, right?
Doomsday, yeah. Defective Chain, and another band is going to be announced on that run as well. The only like hint I can give is that they are playing Sound and Fury, and that's why we can't announce them yet. We have to wait until Sound and Fury announces their second run of bands. The hint I will give, though, is that they're already on the first announcement. they just asked us, search me. They asked us to announce them after the second bands on Sound of Fury. So there's another California band that's coming with us on that run. So if you look at the lineup, you might be able to narrow it down. Yeah. I don't know. But so we're at, you know, like we're going to have another one of those. And yeah, we're going to do that. We're working on new material. So we're going to do a 7-inch, not on Triple B, but they have, like, he gave us the blessing to be like, in between LPs, we're cool for you to do this on another label. So I, you know, like friends band, like label, might be a split release between tape and 7-inch. On another record label.
Do you know a label?
Yeah, we got it. I don't want to announce yet because I don't like those. It's like the songs are air quotes written.
Okay.
But they're not tracked or anything yet, I don't want to something could happen. Who knows? But cool label. I'll say it's an East Coast label and a West Coast label. So something out probably by the end of the year. Three new songs. And two of those will probably go towards whatever LP2. So we got some plans. I'll say this right now, just because it's like all for all intents and purposes, it's good to go. But we're doing Europe at the beginning of next year, like UK and mainland Europe, and then after this California run in August, we're gonna do some stuff down south. And around a particular event, a metal event happening in Florida. So, it, you know, maybe you can like read between the lines there if you're from down there. And then this one's going to be probably pretty easy. And then we're going to do some dates with a New York band at the end of the year around a metal-oriented event in Arkansas. That should be really easy to figure out. Not a lot. Well, think about it like this. August, have a month break, doing some stuff in October, have a month break, do some stuff in December, and then have like a, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's just band stuff. Like, it's really in advance. It has to be in advance.
Well, for us, because I'm here, the other three guys are in Richmond, and then one dude is in Brooklyn, and he's in Combust, and they're like really busy.
Yeah.
It's like, we gotta like, and also our drummer is he's a pro musician. He's like a wedding drummer and wedding DJ. So a lot of weekends, he is like, book the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I got to tell him way ahead of time and be like, please do not book anything this weekend. And even still, sometimes he's like, yo, man, like I can't say no to like the money. And so we got to get a fill in sometimes. Like, he didn't play Black and Blue. We had another guy play Black and Blue. But, you know, so we got stuff planned out. And, I love doing it. It's like I refer to us as like a heavy metal hardcore band. So if you like heavy metal, like traditional heavy metal, you'll fuck with MAD. If you like hardcore, you like the mosh, like, you know, you'll fuck with MAD. And like, yo, like I said earlier, and we can cap it off here so we can get out of this place so they can close.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm a hardcore guy. Like, you're a hardcore guy. I want people dancing. You know, it's like we play metal gigs sometimes and that shit rocks. But in my soul, I want to see people putting hurting on the dance floor. So it's like, that's the kind of stuff that like I like to play and I like to be at. And, you know, it's like, I'm always going to be like a hardcore dude. I swear, if MAD was playing stuff that sounded like, I don't know, like Iron Maiden, like I referenced earlier, I'd still want to be playing like hardcore shows.
That's
just the kind of energy I'm into.
That's your home.
Yeah, that's my home.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, I could talk to you for another hour, but no, they're gonna come and be like, please,
please leave.
Yeah,
but right. That's good. That's my life.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Yeah, I mean, hardcore,
hardcore, man.
Yeah.